Good Friday. Today is October the 11th, and you're listening to My Farm. We're going to start off today looking out in the backyard and garden as we usually do, talking about some insects and the impacts they have on trees and ways to identify them based on what they do to the leaves. We'll have all the details on that and more coming up after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
We're going to take some time this Friday morning to look out in the backyard and garden and talk about some insects that are being pests for sweet gum, redbud, and persimmon trees. We're talking about leaf rollers, leaf folders, and leaf tires. Now, the term leaf folder, leaf roller, and leaf tire refer to leaf structures produced by certain moth caterpillars. Leaf folders basically fold those leaves over. Leaf rollers make it look like they're rolling the leaf up. And then the leaf tires actually do just that. They look like they're actually tying them together. The descriptive terms actually have no relationship to the moth taxonomy. They're intended to aid in the identification by portraying the caterpillar's creative use of silk to fashion its new home. The problem is it's not completely distinctive, as some caterpillars may produce more than one type of leaf structure, which then obviously creates a challenge when it comes to that common name. Now, the way the process works is those moths lay eggs, and the eggs will then hatch and overwinter as pupae in the debris of the fallen leaves around the trees. So one way to avoid problems is to rake those up and destroy them. But then once they come out, they emerge, they go through the different stages of pupae, forming a caterpillar that then feeds on these new leaves, tying or rolling or folding them over. That makes sort of its home. And then at a certain point, when they mature enough, they become a moth. The good news is that rarely do these do any significant damage to trees. It's more aesthetic. And a lot of times they can be removed simply by sort of pinching or squeezing the nest to kill the caterpillars. Well, changing directions, we also want to talk about an insect pest that was infesting milkweeds. Now, while milkweeds are most famously known for serving as a host for monarch caterpillars and monarch butterflies, they're also a host for the oleander aphids. Now, late summer oleander aphid populations on milkweeds obviously are winding down now. The final remnant of the aphids may still be found on some, including the swamp milkweed and the common milkweed, as well as the butterfly weed. The oleander aphid is an interesting insect. Adults are all female and give birth to live young called nymphs. Each nymph is an identical clone of the parent and subsequently molts four or more times before reaching maturity. And when aphid populations explode, they can do so quickly. Winged individuals called alates develop, allowing them to fly off and find another suitable home to repopulate. As such, then, a few oleander aphids on one milkweed plant can quickly turn into hundreds and thousands of aphids across many plants. So it's just interesting how they can multiply and populate. And while the aphids do not appear to significantly hinder the growth and the flowering of milkweed plants, even during like drought conditions like we saw, they are excellent at exuding copious amounts of honeydew, which then leaves a sheen on the leaves and makes them sticky. And a lot of times then that will bring in the black sooty mold that we see, not necessarily on the plant, but on everything around the plant. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now, go from talking about pests of plants to talking about food prices. A lot of folks gardening to try and cut down on their grocery bills. USDA's Gary Crawford has more.
U.S. food shoppers are finding grocery store food prices mostly higher than last year, but not by very much. USDA economist Megan Schweitzer is forecasting food prices at the grocery store this year to average only 1.1% higher than a year ago.
That's quite a bit lower than how prices have changed over the last few years. They rose by 5% in 2023 and 11.4% in 2022. And that's also lower than the long-term average of food-at-home price changes. Over the past 20 years, food-at-home prices have averaged 2.7% growth per year, compared to that 1.1% growth we're forecasting.
So some very low food price inflation for 2024.
And we largely expect to see that trend continue into 2025.
With food prices possibly dropping below 1%, maybe even dropping down below 2024 level. Now, these are averages, of course, of all the food categories. Some of those foods can exhibit wild swings in prices, eggs being the most blatant example.
In 2022, you saw egg prices increase by 32.2%. And then in 2023, egg prices only increased by 1.4%. So you do have that kind of wide variation from year to year, especially when it's affected by something like avian influenza.
A bird disease responsible for the loss of millions of egg-laying hens. Megan expects egg prices this year to go up another 5% and another 5% increase in 2025. The other food category showing large price hikes far above average is beef.
Other than eggs, beef has been the fastest growing food price category that we track, and we are predicting beef to experience the fastest growth of all categories in 2024, predicting beef prices to increase by 5.2%.
And Megan says without these high prices for eggs and beef, the overall average increase for foods would be a lot lower. And earlier you heard her predicting already that this year's foods we buy at the grocery store will still only go up in price by an average of just 1.1%. However,
food away from home or restaurant prices are predicted to increase by 4.1% in 2024.
Megan Schweitzer says that's not because restaurants are paying a lot more for the foods that they're serving us, but they are paying a lot more for the people who provide services at the restaurant, the folks who prepare the food or who clean up after we leave. She says restaurants are more than food providers, more than sellers of foods. They are part of the service economy, and on that score,
across the economy, we're seeing that prices for services are up by about 5% over the past year, where prices for goods have dropped over the past year by about 2%.
That's one reason why the cost of eating out is rising so much faster than food prices at the supermarket. Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Thanks, Gary. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great weekend.